Hello, hello. There we go. Good evening. Just got to find where the aircon is. Find the best spot. I'll make do. My name's Mike, and I've been given the responsibility of preaching to you tonight. We'll be looking into the book of Psalms, but not focusing on a specific one. So if you've brought your paper Bibles along tonight, do some stretching on your wrists. You're going to need it to keep up. But before we get into that, let's pray. Father God, thank you for bringing us here tonight. We know that nobody here has come through that door by accident. Nobody is joined to the Twitch stream by accident. You've brought us here for a reason, that there's something important in the music, in the prayers, in the God sessions, in the sermon that we need to hear. We need to apply it to our hearts and to our lives and use it to come closer to you. We pray, Father, that whatever that is, we know it might vary person by person. We pray whatever it is, it finds its home and it serves its purpose to strengthen our relationships and draw us closer to you as your children. Amen. At the start of the year, Gavin sent out the preaching roster to those of us on the team. When I checked it, I found out that I'd been assigned to a series called A Psalm to Remember. Specifically, he'd asked me to preach a psalm on a topic, or a psalm that appeals to me, speaks to me. That presented me with a problem, because I didn't have one. I've tried to read the book of Psalms a few times in the past, but I've always bounced off it. There are three reasons for this. Reason one, Psalm is a book of poetry. I don't mean by this that all the Psalms rhyme or that they all follow structured verse. Some of them do. But they all use poetic language, figurative, flowery metaphors, similes, lots of symbolic imagery. I'm personally a very literal-minded person. Just ask my wife. As an example, from time to time, I like to write her love messages, telling her that I love her and why. You won't find anything in these notes comparing her to a flower or a sunrise or a goat. Does anyone else think that Solomon was a bit weird? I mean, I don't know that much about women, but I know not to compare them to goats. Reason number two, Psalms is a very emotional book, and that's something we'll be exploring more later, as Gav said. For me, I'm not a very emotional person, contrary to certain accusations that have been made against me in the past. I'm not a robot, but I just don't seem to feel my emotions as strongly as a lot of other people do, and I've never let them hold much sway over the way that I communicate. Reason three, Psalms is a weird mix. It has praise, it has emotional outbursts, it has prophecy, and it can be really hard to separate the three. It can have all three mixed into the same psalm. We'll also pick up on that a bit more later. So all this presented me with a bit of a conundrum. How could I preach on the Psalms at all, much less on one that speaks to me? Thankfully, our God is not the kind of God who presents us with a challenge and then says, later, loser, have fun with that. Early into the year, I took on leadership of one of our church small groups. And then having done so, I promptly informed them that they would be helping me to learn Psalms. I'll be honest, we didn't make it very far. Our group's been a bit hammered by sickness and other difficulties that we've had a lot of cancellations through the year, and Psalms is a big book. There's a lot of Psalms. But we got through it far enough that even with me struggling to wrap my mind around it, patterns started to emerge. And helpfully, there are people within my group who have a much better grasp of the figurative than I do. And they were able to help me open up meanings in the text that I just didn't see. There's a lesson in that. Small groups aren't just for the leader to teach you. You're also there to teach your leader. One of the things that became very quickly apparent is that Psalms is a book of communication. Psalms is a book of people opening their hearts up to God and telling him how they really feel. Sometimes that shows us praise, like in Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Sometimes a psalm is about contrition. Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord? How long? Turn, Lord, and deliver me. Save me because of your unfailing love. I am worn out from my groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. You see the flowery metaphors there? My eyes grow weak with sorrow and they fail because of all my foes. Sometimes Psalms manifest as a call for help. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. Arise, Lord, deliver me my teeth. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. And sometimes a psalm is just a complaint. Why, Lord, do you stand so far off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? In his arrogance, the wicked man, he hunts down the weak who are caught in the schemes he devises. He boasts about the cravings of his heart. He blesses the greedy and he reviles the Lord. In his pride, the wicked man does not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. His ways are always prosperous. Your laws are rejected by him. He sneers at all his enemies. Why does the wicked man revile God? Why does he say to himself, he won't call me to account? The key thing that links all of these different types of psalms together is honesty, specifically emotional honesty. God wants us to tell him how we feel. Our God is not a God who wants us to be distant from him. He doesn't want to distance himself. He doesn't put walls up to stop us from interrupting him. He doesn't set the angels around him as a perimeter of bodyguards to prevent us from approaching him. He calls us his children, and he invites us to call him Father, because that's what he is. And as his children, we are able to approach him with our feelings. I'm a father too. I have a 2.5-year-old daughter, and as her father, I deeply desire to have a relationship with her. I want to show her how much I love her. I want her to show me how much she loves me. I want her to trust me enough to tell me how she honestly feels. Even when she's upset with me because I've told her no or told her off or made her do something that she just didn't want to do. I can't have that if I don't listen to her. I can't have a relationship with my daughter if I refuse to allow her to say her piece to me. Our Father in heaven is no different. He created us with feelings, with emotions, with desires. Sin has come along and corrupted those to a degree. But even so, he still wants to hear from us. He still desires a relationship with all his children. As part of that, he wants us to talk to him openly and honestly. And that includes coming to him with our anger and our grief as well. It's not the only reason for the book of Psalms, but it is a major one. Psalms shows us that it is okay to be honest with God under all circumstances. And look, there are some really difficult, even horrible things written in the Psalms. There are sections where the psalmist calls out in anger, in grief, perhaps even in self-righteousness for God to inflict injury and atrocity upon his enemies. One of the Psalms earlier, we heard David ask God to knock someone's teeth out. Other places, he asks God to break his enemy's arms. Psalm 137 is one of the most difficult parts of the Bible to read. So let's give it a crack. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day that Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. Let's be honest, that is really horrible. And it is in the Bible. Is it a picture of who God is? Does God condone this? Is it this the God that we worship? I've heard atheists point to these verses as proof that God is evil or that the Bible is contradictory, but no. Such an interpretation comes from reading the text without any care for its context. These are all emotional outbursts from sinful people calling out to God with how they feel. They are being honest with God, and that part is good, but it does not make what they are asking for righteous or good. We can compare this to Jonah when he complained to God about how God showed mercy to the Ninevites. Jonah was just being honest about how he felt about God's decisions, but he was also in the wrong. And just like with Jonah, these sections represent broken, sinful people who are honest with God about how they really felt. And maybe you might think, what's the point in calling out to God? He's all-knowing. He knows this stuff already. He can read it in my mind. That's true, it is. But there is no relationship in him simply reading your mind from a distance. That's not communication. God wants us to God wants to hear us express ourselves to him. He wants us to hear him respond. You may or may not have encountered them, but some people believe that God went quiet after he handed down the New Testament. They think that he said all that he wanted to say and he's been silent for the past 2,000 years. No, that is not correct. God still talks to us. God still talks to those who are willing to listen. God desires relationships with us, and relationships cannot survive, let alone thrive, without dialogue and discussion. God wants to live with us through all of our feelings, good and bad, because this is how relationships grow. This is how bonds are strengthened. Shared experience. God asks us to invite him into our lives so that we can walk with him through everything that we go through. Because that is how we grow closer to him. Good news is, you don't need to be a poet to achieve this. You don't need to be an expert in flowery compliments and heart-quivering depictions of dread. You just tell it to God straight up. You don't need to tell God like David that you cried so much that you bared up and floated down the Todd River. Just be honest. When you are full of joy, go to God in honesty. Father, I'm just feeling so good right now. I have so much joy. It feels awesome. Thank you. When you're angry, go to God in honesty. God, why didn't you give me that job? It was perfectly suited to me. It would have provided better for my family. It would have provided opportunities to shine your light in that workplace. Why did you open the door just so you could slam it in my face? When you are grieving, go to God in honesty. Why, God? Why would you give us a pregnancy? Why would you get our hopes up? Why would you make us so happy just to rip it away? Why would you take our child from us before we could even meet them? These examples are all situations that I've been in, emotions that I've had to share with God. And sometimes in these situations, our emotions become so intense that we can't put words to them. At that time, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us through wordless groans. And we can also go to the Psalms and use those words that have already been written for us. God wants us to be honest with Him. He wants us to allow ourselves to be emotionally vulnerable to Him, because that opens the door for Him to provide healing, comfort, teaching, wisdom, discipline, and other growth that will ultimately shape us into the people that He intended us to be when He created us. This is how He draws us closer into His arms. And this is what a good father wants from his children. Let's pray again. Father God, you know our hearts. You know the sorts of things that we feel, the things that we experience. You created us to have feelings and to have emotions. You created us to experience all of these and to grow and from them, and to especially to grow closer to you. Help us to be honest, God. Help us to always come to you, no matter how we're feeling, good or bad. Help us to learn that reflex to always lean upon you. When we're angry, when we're happy, when we're sad, when we're confused, when we're worried, help us to bring all of these things to you as our first instinct. And then help us to trust. Help us to have faith that you hear us, that you care, that you love us, that you want what's right for us. And then when it all becomes too much, Lord, help us to just lean on your Holy Spirit and on your strength to walk the steps that our feet can't carry us. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.